Our message this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And it's concerning the resurrection. And these are the Apostle Paul's words. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So Paul writes about the resurrection appearances of Jesus. What I want us to do this morning is to look at what we can learn from these experiences. But by looking, in particular, in looking at what these appearances meant to three of the disciples, Peter, Thomas, and Paul. And notice that these appearances, how they are changed people by these encounters with the risen Lord. Our first disciple, Peter. In our reading this morning, we read that he met with Peter alone. You know, Peter was a fisherman. Peter and his brother were fishing, and Jesus asked them to follow him, and they immediately left their nets to follow Jesus. And how many of you know that most fishermen like to brag? How many fishermen we have out there? Yeah, you guys do some bragging, don't you? How big was that fish you caught, Ken? Thank you. Point proved. But Peter wasn't any different. Peter was a bragger. You know, he would say things just off the fly that would just shoot out of his mouth. He'd say a lot of things without thinking. Well, one time the Lord was telling Peter that he was going to be crucified and that Peter would disown him. And of course, Peter, being, you know, the guy he was, he just said, "Never, Lord. I would never disown you." Well, this was before the resurrection. And Peter did deny him three times. And in fact, the Lord told Peter that before the rooster crows, that he would deny him three times. And at the last time, Peter denied the Lord, and the rooster crowed. And just then, Peter and their eyes met. And the Scripture says that Peter went outside and wept bitterly. So that was Peter before the resurrection. After the resurrection, in John 21, by the way, these notes are written in the bulletin if you want to take them home and study them later, look up the Scriptures for yourself, you can. But you see, Jesus was on shore while Peter was out fishing, and Peter noticed that Jesus was on shore fixing some fish, and he jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore. And listen to the conversation they had. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he says, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, he'd always wondered why the Lord asked Peter three times if he loved him. Well, I think the answer is because Peter denied the Lord three times. So kind of to work that out with Peter, he asked him three times, do you love me? And Peter was able to affirm that. Later on, we read in the book of Acts that Peter preached his first sermon at Pentecost. 3,000 people were saved that day, and it was the beginning of the church. And tradition has it that Peter started the church in Rome. How about our second disciple, Thomas? You know, we don't know as much about Thomas as we do Peter, but we know that, well, how many of you ever heard of Doubting Thomas? Probably all of us, you know. I don't think it's fair that we label Thomas Doubting Thomas. Thomas was a courageous disciple. There's another accounting of Thomas that when Jesus learns of Lazarus' sickness, and Jesus says, come, let's go to Lazarus, the disciples say, Jesus, you were just about to get stoned. You know, we had to leave, and now you want to go back and see Lazarus? Well, Thomas is the one that says, let's go. I'll go with you, Jesus, even if I have to die with you. So Thomas was a very courageous disciple, but yet he gets labeled Doubting Thomas. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was resurrected from the dead, Thomas wasn't with them that first time. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. Maybe Thomas was just so depressed because all the things that they thought Jesus was going to do didn't come to pass. And he wasn't there. Maybe he was just off somewhere by himself. But the next time Jesus comes, Thomas is there. And listen to that accounting. This is from John chapter 20. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and have believed. I think Jesus is talking about us, isn't he? Blessed are those who have yet to see me, but have believed. So Jesus' resurrection appearance changed Thomas. Thomas no longer doubted, but he believed. And tradition has it that Thomas went to India and started the Christian church there. Lastly, let's look at Paul and the encounter that he had with the risen Lord. Now, we know quite a bit about Paul. After all, Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. So there's quite a... He started a lot of churches. But we find out that Paul was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader of that sect that day. And he persecuted the church. He rejected the gospel. And he actually went around with the religious leaders of that time in Judaism to round up Christians in chains and have many of them killed. And Paul was responsible for that. In our reading this morning, I stopped short of Paul saying in verse 9, he says of himself, that for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So Paul tells us that he doesn't even deserve the blessings that God gave him. Before his conversion, he was a Pharisee. and he thought of himself very highly. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 about himself. He says, if anyone had confidence in their own efforts, I have more. A pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. You know, I got to tell you folks that I used to think of myself pretty highly too before I became a Christian. I used to think I was a pretty okay guy until I became a Christian. And then I realized that when I thought of myself compared to Christ, wasn't even close. And that's what Paul has realized as well. As much as he tried to obey rules, once he became under the scrutiny of Christ and God, he realized that he wasn't the person that he thought he was either. Listen to what he says in Philippians 3:6 after he comes to accept Christ. He writes this, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, he's talking about his past, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I discarded everything else, counting it as garbage. Can you imagine? Paul says of his former life, here he was, a Pharisee, a respected leader, and he says that life was just nothing but garbage. He says he was garbage, basically. He was counting it all as garbage so that I could attain, or I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Folks, it's not about how good we are that makes us Christians. It's about our faith. It's about knowing that Christ died on a cross and was resurrected from the dead for our sins, and by believing that, we are counted righteous with God. Yeah, it helps to be a changed person. And yeah, that's our goal. But it's the faith in Jesus Christ that makes us saved, that gives us eternal life with God. Listen to what Paul says even as he faces death after his encounter with Christ. After he's in chains and he has guards. And I got to tell you that Paul is even praying for his guards, those that have him in chains. But listen to what he says as he even faces death. He says, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's faith. Paul's ready to go. He continues, if I am going on in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you, again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Do you realize that Paul, that Peter and Thomas are us? Some of us doubt at times, and we struggle with faith. Some of us, like Peter, think that we will never deny the Lord. Some of us, like Paul, may persecute Christians. Maybe it's jealousy over another Christian, or maybe it's just not understanding what it means to be a Christian. But I think that many of us have crossed that line once or twice in our lives. But Peter was restored for denying the Lord. Thomas was given proof of Jesus' resurrection. And Paul, well, we know Paul. Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul was a changed man. Paul was changed. Listen to what Peter says about his new life in Christ. He says, it's a joy that surpasses all understanding. A joy that surpasses all understanding. You know, I've got to tell you that I've experienced that. One time I was coming home from work and I was laid off that day. And I was listening to the radio and there was praise songs on and I'm thinking to myself, something's wrong. I feel too good and I'm having too much joy to be going home to tell my wife I'm laid off. You know, I need the money. Why was I so happy? Well, it's because of that joy that surpasses all understanding. There's been other times where I've been ill or a member of my family has been ill and I'm going, I should feel worse about this than I do. But I didn't, because the joy of Christ was just welling up inside of me. Peter says this in about faith in verses 8 and 9 in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. He says, although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice in an indescribable and glorious joy. You are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What did Paul just say? Paul just says if he lives or he dies, it's Christ. We have Christ living in us the moment we believe in him. And that's when eternity begins for the Christian. That's when the joy begins. So what I want to say is today, if you aren't receiving the full assurance of your salvation, just as Jesus tells Thomas, do not doubt but believe, he wants us all to have that kind of faith and believe. You know, listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke. He says this, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door shall be opened. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. And he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Folks, I got to tell you, somebody told me that scripture when I was having a faith crisis. I wasn't sure what I believed. And when I took that scripture to heart and I started asking God to reveal himself to me, he did. That's a promise of the Bible. When you ask and keep on asking, God will reveal himself to you. I promise. It's important that you know that. God is so good. He keeps his promises to all those that would seek after him. And I love Paul. Paul tells his readers and us this morning about Christ's resurrection appearance. And he says that over 500 of the brothers saw him at the same time, many of whom are still living. What more proof did they need? That's all they had to do is go ask the people that were still living that saw Jesus. And that should be our proof too. We may not see Jesus in the flesh, but we can see the people that have changed lives because of Jesus. Proof of the resurrection. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for these reassuring words from Paul, that we could know that Christ indeed rose from the dead, and through believing in him, we are made right with God. It's about faith. Lord, help us have that saving faith and to keep on telling others about your wondrous grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.